Would you stand to your feet one more time? I'm going to have them put this Psalms 23. And we're going to read this together. It'll be on the screen. And then I'm going to pray. All right. We're going to do verse 1, 2, and the first part of verse 3. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, read. The Lord is my shepherd. Feed to guide and to shield me. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the refresher in our lives. We thank you for the times of refreshing that comes from your presence. And right now, Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this house. And I decree, regardless of their level of faith or their level of understanding or their level with walk with you, the moment that every individual under the sound of my voice walked under this roof line, they are now in a new place, experiencing you in a new and a special way. Father, I decree and declare that the destiny of heaven will be fulfilled in their life. We curse and bind the enemy and the tactics of the enemies that would try to steal, kill, and destroy. But Father God, I thank you. I've come to speak life into your people as you've directed and guided me by the word of God and the spirit of God. I thank you, Father God, and I decree and speak into their life that tomorrow is greater than their yesterdays. I decree that victory belongs to them. Defeat does not belong to them. I decree, declare that the enemy is a liar and that God, your word is true. Let all men be liars and you be true, Father God. Help us to cling on to the word of God like we have never clinged on to it before. Father, I thank you that heaven and earth will pass away before your word fails. I thank you, Father God, as your word goes forth, it will not return void. And so we send your word. We just don't speak it. We send it into the lives of your people. We send your word into the situations of your people. Father God, I decree, declare that all fear inside of them will be moving and leaving today in the name of Jesus. For you have not given them the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Father, we activate the destinies within their life. We activate the gifts and calling of God within them. Father God, I thank you for inheritance received, marriages restored, bodies healed, minds come to clarity. Deception, you have to go. Tormenting spirits, you have to go. Buffeting spirits, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We set the people of God free today. And Father God, I thank you, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We will not go back to the pit of the past, but I thank you, Father God, we will boldly decree, declare that Proverbs 4 is true, that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. We thank you, Father God, we give you praise. Now, Father God, we sanctify this moment, and we will not be distracted by anything, anyone, time, clock, or food. I thank you, we are looking into eternity today and expecting to receive from heaven for us, for ourselves, in a special way. And if you believe that, give the Lord the loudest hand clap of praise, and you may be seated in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give him a praise. You got to be determined and press in and say, I'm not going to stay the way I am. I'm going to the next level. I'm stepping into my next season. I'm receiving my next miracle. I'm walking in my next instruction. Amen. Hallelujah. Tag two or three people. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, those with babies, we are so glad you brought them to church. We have a nursery that is designed just for them. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We had someone one time years ago. I mean, we're talking about 8 or 9 years ago. And they gave us a bad review on Yelp or something. You're like, how dare them? And they're like, they asked me to go to the nursery because my baby was just celebrating and excited about being inside church. I was like, I want to see how a 9-month-old gets excited about church. Come on. No. Psalms 23:1, verse, let me read that again. The Lord is my shepherd. He's to feed, guide, and to shield me. I like this translation of the Amplified. I shall not want. One translation says, I will not lack any good thing. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. In the Webster, the word refresh means to restore, to renew, to replenish, or to revive, to restore, to renew, to replenish, and to revive. David said in the psalmist, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how anointed you are. Doesn't matter how important your destiny is. All of us need time of refreshing from the Lord. If you're working off the manna of yesterday, it will not be good today. We have to have times, and there needs to be special times where we experience the refreshing of God. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. The old saints, we used to call pray until you have a breakthrough. Because there's times in life that we have to say, okay, I just can't do what I normally do. I need to experience the refreshing of God in my life. Amen. I need to be renewed. I need to be restored. I need to be replenished. I need to be revived. Yes. And that can happen for many different reasons. Maybe you got a bad report. Have you ever noticed that the attacks of the enemy not only have a flame, because the Bible says we take the shield of faith and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Not only has a flame that tries to consume your imagination, it has a blunt, it tries to take the wind out of your sail. Yeah. You could be feeling great, cloud nine, today's gonna be awesome, and you get a bad report from your doctor, from your boss, from someone who just cut you off. And the climate around you tends to change. But I believe that God gives us the power to change our climate back to where we want it to be. I like to think of it as a thermostat. We need to utilize our words not to be a thermometer and tell everybody what's going wrong in our day, but to utilize God's word to identify like a thermostat what we want to happen in our day. You can wait and say, oh, it's a hard day, or you can begin to say what God is saying. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And see the word of God change the environment. We don't have to live by the environment of the enemy. We don't have to eat from the table of the enemy. The Bible says that God prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. But I want you to know there's more than one table around you. You have to choose which table you're going to eat from. And the devil might try to sit at your table from God, and you can say, sorry, no place for you, no room for you. Can I get an amen? So when someone cuts you off and you want to get angry and you feel like you've just lost your cool and you've ruined your day, you can allow that stranger you've never met, nor will you ever meet, that whoever was angry and demon-possessed or just frustrated in their own life that cut you off and gave you the California hello and sent you on your own. You could let them direct your ship. But why? Why? Why do we give strangers power to direct our ship? Why do we allow the enemy to direct the atmosphere of our heart? The Bible tells us to guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. In fact, it says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. I learned years ago in my own walk with God, and we should all be learning. We should all be growing, no matter how long you've been saved. Never outgrow growth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And never take anybody's word for anything. Challenge everything with the word of God. That's how you keep growing. Oh, well, so-and-so said it. Well, so-and-so might be wrong. Or so-and-so might be right under circumstances. You need to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's quiet. See, we're building a culture that looks at everything and challenges. The Bible says even try the spirits of the prophets. Why? Because just because someone says it, they might be anointed, they might be gifted, but they might be off that particular day.
Right.
And so we can't be gullible in the house of God. We have to challenge everything. Everything needs to line up with the Word of God and realize that we are all growing. No one's perfect. No one's got it all figured out. Only Jesus is perfect.
Amen.
Did you hear, Big? Yeah. Only Jesus is perfect.
Amen.
And so we go to the Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Word to us in a way so that we're, okay, now I understand. That's what you're saying, God. That's what I'm going to stand on. Because those who hear the Word and do it are the ones who build their house on the rock.
Right.
Jesus said, and when storms come, it will last. You will outlast the storm. Say, I will outlast the storm. See, I'm telling you, there is a peace that exceeds understanding when you are following God and know that you've built your life on the principles of God's word. And though you don't know everything, you're open for the teaching of God to reveal his word. And that even in the storms of life, you will outlast it because you are not anchored to the emotional sand, but you are anchored to the rock of God's word. Can I get an amen? And so stuff comes and goes. But we need to not let the enemy direct our ship, or change our attitude. And that's hard. And I remember years ago going back to that thought, someone had offended me and I was angry. Have you ever been offended before? Yeah. Of course you are, you lying thing that's saying you've never been offended. Offense is one of the number one tools the enemy uses people to move out of the house of God, to move out of relationships, to make bad decisions. Oh, the Lord's leading me. No, you were offended and you're allowing that offense to guide you. But there is another level of making decisions, and that's not being moved by what you feel, hear, or see, but moved by the principle of God's word. That said, until God tells me to move, I'm not going to move. Though that stream maybe has dried up, that stream refreshed me for years, but now it's dried up, I'm still not going until God tells me where to go. Amen? That's what the prophet said. He said, he waited for God to say, I want you to go here because I've got provision here. And so someone had offended me, and I was angry. And I thought, you know, I'm going to get even with them. Come on. And the Lord dealt with me, and I had to repent. So why would you repent? They're the one that offended you. I know. They're the one that said something that hurt my feelings or offended me, was wrong. They did that. But the Lord dealt with me. Now, you don't have to live by this. You got to walk this out in, by the word of God in your own pace. Yep. Don't emulate other people. Emulate the word of God. Obey the word of God. And the Holy Spirit just revealed to me, no, you need to repent because you allowed their words to offend you on the inside of your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Right. See, no matter who it is, if I allow them to change the temperature of my heart, then I'm allowing them to take a higher position in my life than Jesus. Because really, at the end of the day, only Jesus should be able to touch the place on the essence on the inside of you and change the temperature of your heart. Do you see my point? Some of us walk around totally vulnerable to everybody and anybody, and the devil looks at them and say, watch, they said they're going to serve God. Watch this. I'll send just the little devil over there just to look, give them a look, and they'll be so mad and offended, it'll take them 6 months to get out of that. But where are the Shadrachs, Meshach, and Abednego of our day and age that said, regardless of the surrounding or circumstances, we will not bow our knee to anybody but God? Sometimes you got to tell yourself, shut up, be quiet, and I refuse to allow myself to stay offended. I repent for allowing the offense to come into my life because only Jesus, only you have right to the inside of who I am. Come on, somebody. We all need to be refreshed from time to time. See, I need to be refreshed. I want to talk about different ways for us to experience God's refreshing in our life. And it has to be more than just an emotional goosebump. We need to be restored, renewed, replenished, revived. The first way we can experience God's refreshing, we'll see how far we get with this today. The first way comes out of Acts chapter 3, verse 20. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Then times of refreshing or refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Now in verse 19, it tells them to repent of their sin, because sin will keep you out of God's presence. People don't talk about sin too much in this modern day, but in this modern day, we need to talk about sin. Yeah. Because in every generation, the devil's tactic is to utilize sin to convince you in your thinking that it's okay, not realizing that the sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want. And it keeps us out of God's presence. It doesn't mean that you're perfect and that you won't ever sin. But if you sin, 1 John 1:9, that we're to confess that sin before God. And he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. We need to come back to that place and stay in the flow of God's right standing, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say with me, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's a covenant right. It is the key element for the presence of God and the blessing of God and the protection of God, everything to flow into your life. Because the enemy's tactic is to get you to look to you. Oh, look what you've done. And the problem is not what you have done, because if it's under the blood, it's forgotten. It has been dealt with. But the problem is the moment we begin to take our eyes off Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and begin to look to our past. It's not so much, you got to see the trick of the enemy. It's not so much what you have done. It's the fact that your eyes are going to where you've been. It is not, oh, anything goes. I'm not telling you anything goes and everything's okay and you can live any way you want. No, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, shall we use the freedom that God's given us to go back and sin? And he said, God forbid, which means modern day translation, not a good idea, because you submit yourself under that authority, which means you submit yourself under that bondage. But if we submit ourselves under righteousness, it doesn't bring us in bondage, it brings us into freedom. And freedom is what everybody wants, but they go down the path of not knowing how to get what God has for them. And so, I know what I want. I want to be free. I want to be happy. And they try everything the devil throws at them. It's like a bad beer commercial. Have you ever noticed it? Beer commercials are never true to reality. They show everybody hanging out, smiling, having a good time. It doesn't get any better than this as they pass each other people a beer at the bar. But if you go to the bar, and I'm not encouraging you to go to the bar, but if you go to the bar, you'll see it doesn't look anything like that. It's not people that are at the bar, their lives are busted, they're disgusted, they're miserable, they're hurting, they're looking to be numbed, they're trying to have that alcohol numb the pain. Why? Because that's what the enemy's tactic is to do, is to make them think that they can numb the pain with the alcohol, only to lead them down deeper into the path that they can't get out of the pit. But when Jesus shows up, come on, I'm going to talk to somebody now, because we have to speak the truth that sin is from the devil. It will send you to hell. It is not of God, and it will separate you from God, not only in heaven but on earth. And God wants you to know, I have so much for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it to the heart of man the things that God. I want you to know, sin, though it looks shiny and appealing, it's a cost, and it will be used by the enemy, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And starting today, repent of it quickly. It doesn't have to be emotional. You don't need tears. You just need to get off the highway at the next exit and turn around and say, starting this day, I'm going to serve you. Because God, what you have for me is so much better than what the enemy is lying to me. Because the enemy is a liar. He is the father of all lies. And he will tell you what he has if you do it this way. This is what you get. He tried it with Jesus. Bow down and serve me in all the kingdoms of the earth. If you worship me, I'll give you all this because it's given unto me. And Jesus did not say, that's not true. But Jesus knew what the enemy was offering him was what the Father had already was getting ready to give him. And he said, you will worship none but God. Because we know later after the cross, that's the trap of the enemy, is to offer you the benefit without the condition of obedience. Jesus, I'll give you the kingdoms and you won't have to go to the cross. Why? Because he knew the Messiah would crush his head, that the Messiah coming would destroy his authority, would destroy his power. Because we know again in Ephesians 1 that how God anointed Jesus, Acts 10:30, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil and healing all that were oppressed. What is happening? What is happening? What is happening? Just like we quoted Ephesians 1, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling, the riches of inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power. The exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up on high, far above all principality and power. What did God the Father do? If you obey me, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to elevate you to this. I'm going to bring that into your life. And the devil shows up and says, you don't have to obey God. Just do it my way and I'll give it to you quick. And it's a lie. There's no joy in sin. There's pleasure in sin for a short season. But the demon that tempted you to walk through the door is the same demon that says, look at you now. Come on, come on. Yep. And some of you are like, I just try and I can't get away from this. Starting today, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I curse and break every demonic hold against your life. I set you free in the name of Jesus from all addictions, from all the plan of the enemy, from all sins that keep holding you back. I set you free for whom the Son is set free. You might look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, I'm talking in the realm of the Spirit. I'm sending the word forth. It will not return void. Whom the Son is set free is free. Free indeed. Today you're free. If you believe it, shout amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sin will try to keep you out of God's presence, and it's in the presence of God. We have misinterpreted God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have misinterpreted Him as a goosebump or an emotion or a run or a shout. And praise God for all those expressions of His presence. But those things are not the presence of God, because you can have a goosebump, an emotion, a shout, a run and a dance at something that is not of God, that is purely emotional. And the church world has many times lost the difference between an emotional move and a spiritual move, because the devil cannot mimic, he cannot demonstrate the anointing, but he can create an emotional hype. And ooh, I feel so good. It's like a sugar high, and you feel good in the moment, but it's surely you're going to crash later. But when it's the anointing of God, you don't crash. You go from glory to glory to glory. Are you listening to me today? We need to clarify in the church, modern day church world, that there is the presence of God. He is real. He is the Holy Spirit. We are not ashamed of Him, and He will not only encourage you, He will not only refresh you, He will take you to that next level. Well, I don't know, that sounds different to me. Are you listening to me? Everything in this Bible sounds different. Everything in this Bible is from the natural carnal mind is weird. You can't even, salvation sounds weird from the natural rational mind. Someone that you don't know, you've never met 2,000 years ago, died on a cross, and that impacts your eternity today? Really? The virgin birth, explain that. That's kind of weird, Pastor. It is a little different from the natural mind, but that doesn't mean it's not truth. Come on, man. The things of the Spirit might seem a little different. Put them on the back burner. Challenge it with the word. Begin in your own time. Say, God, if this is true, show me. I'm going to study the New Testament. I'm going to look. I need you to reveal it to me. Because we don't want you to emulate, mimic, imitate people that is not a revelation in your heart. We want you to grow in the things of God. Because when you get an understanding to it, when you get a revelation of it, are you listening to me today? When it becomes alive, Psalms 119, the entrance of His word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. See, many people are walking in darkness. Like Jesus said, the blind are leading the blind. They can't see anything, because they're following the external demonstrations of a revelation that somebody else had. But you have to get that revelation on your own. God doesn't have grandchildren. He doesn't have nephews and nieces. He only has children. Are you listening to me? You have to get that revelation. I don't care if it's tithing. I don't care if it's healing. I don't care if it's blessing. I don't care if it's peace. I don't care if it's joy. You have to come to the cross and then come to revelation from the Word of God. And don't you understand? This is the written Word of God. But the Holy Spirit makes it alive to us, because Jesus is the living Word of God. As long as you're just trying to do the written Word of God, it will carry, it will weigh you down, it'll be a burden to you. But when it becomes alive to you by the Spirit of God, then it becomes the living Word of God. And something that is alive produces life. Are you listening to me today? And it's not you trying to hang on and make it, it's holding you up. There's a level of walking with God where you're not trying to work it out. You're not trying to force it. You're not trying to hang on to, oh, I'm trying to live right. No, there's a place where it is holding you. Are you listening? It is holding, and you walk in the freedom. You walk. Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And I speak over your life that the anointing, the spirit of ease come upon your life, even in your living for Jesus, that you'll find that you are victorious, not because you're over struggling and trying to will it or trying to discipline it, but all of a sudden it flows out of you because it's a revelation that comes from heaven. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, to Simon at the time, who do you say that I am? Until you know who he is, you can't have what he has for you. I don't care if it's Savior. I don't care if it's healer. I don't care if it's deliverer. And Simon said, you are the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you see where truth comes from? It comes from heaven. It comes from the realm of God. Again, to that verse I quoted earlier, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them, the next verse says, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Where is that? Look it up. I'm not your mother bird force feeding you everything. I'll give you references, I'll give you scriptures, but some stuff I want you to be hungry enough or angry enough. Either way, it doesn't matter to me, as long as you're challenging it and looking it up on your own time. But he reveals them to us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And what we have to understand is that in his presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. We have been struggling. We have been struggling. Many times we are struggling trying to do the life of God in our ability. But God never called you to live his life in your ability. That's the wake-up call of Israel, that what you are doing in the flesh, you cannot, and the Gentiles are receiving it by faith, because you cannot be perfect enough. It doesn't mean you can live in sin in any way you want. No, it's doing the works of God. It's obeying. It's waking up and saying, God, I've come to do your will today. I've come to put into action your plans today. I'm living for you, Jesus, but I know I can't do it on my own. I know I can't live at that level. Jesus didn't come to lower the bar. He came to raise the bar. They in the law, it said, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, "In it is written, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery." I don't know about you. That's a higher bar, not a lower bar. But he didn't raise the bar so that you would fail. He raised the bar so that you and I would sit back and say, Lord, I can't do this on you. I need you. I need your word. I need your presence. I need your ability. Oh God, I can't live this life without you. We become more dependent on him. That's why I spend time in prayer, because you realize without prayer, you can't live the life he wants. That's why you spend time in the word to feed your spirit, because without him, you can't do it. I'm telling you, it's in the presence of Jehovah. It's in the presence of Almighty God. It's in the presence. Refreshing comes out of the presence of God. That's why the enemy doesn't want you in God's presence. He'll be fine if you're entertained. He'll be fine if you feel just a little bit encouraged. He'll be fine if you're emotionally on a sugar high. But he knows, give it a little bit of time. They're going to be crashing. Like most parents, if they see their kids eating sugar that they shouldn't, and like, wow, I guess we're on vacation. We'll let them eat all that. Pancakes with chocolate syrup and a Dr. Pepper. Help us, Jesus. But 2 hours later, what are they doing? And that's the state that a lot of people are in the church world. Going to church. I'm not hurting anybody. Sounds like an addict. And they sit in church spiritually. They go to work spiritually. They talk to their neighbors and family and friends who need help. And the Bible tells us to wake up out of our slumber. We need the anointing of heaven. We need the unction of heaven. We need the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're never going to get through this today, but which means that you will not be late at the buffet. Hey, did we find out last week if there were actually buffets anymore? There are really buffets? Really? God bless Golden Corral. Help us, Jesus. Virus or us. They should name it. No, I'm joking. Curse them by that in the name of Jesus. Sorry. Then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Get in the presence of God. Through prayer. Jude verse 20, praying in the Spirit. Through praise and worship. I remember as a young believer asking my mom one day, I'm like, Mom, when I'm praying, sometimes I'll turn on praise and worship, and it kind of helps me experience the presence of God while I'm praying. I said, Jimmy, what's the best way? And I remember, and this is many years ago, and I remember very clearly, and I thought this was good wisdom. She said, whatever gets you in the presence of God the quickest and helps you stay the longest, do that. Sometimes you might not need praise and worship on your phone to be playing. Sometimes you can just step right in through prayer. Sometimes it's in the word, whatever it is, get in God's presence. I don't know what to do. Get in God's presence. Lord, I need direction. Get in God's presence. Lord, I feel so overwhelmed. Get in God's presence. When you begin to experience, and I think anybody, if you've been in this church or any spirit-filled church for any length of time, you've had those moments where you've experienced the presence of God in a powerful way in a corporate setting, and that's a real deal. But there's also something that can happen, the same anointing that can happen in your room, in your car, in your house, in your apartment, as you walk the halls and begin to pray out loud and let the enemy who's been tormenting your mind hear you say, not what he is saying, but what God is saying. Say the presence of God. So God's presence, number two, to be refreshed, experiencing the refreshing that we all need from. We need God's promises. Psalms 19, verse 7 in NIV says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul.
Yes.
Refreshing the soul. Refreshing the soul. We use a lot of verses in our Sunday message. Why? Because it's the power of the word.
Yes.
I want you to understand. Just look at what the enemy attacks in the typical church. Oh, no Holy Ghost, no presence, no word. Just give a lot of encouraging thoughts. Do you know that there is such a thing, for lack of a better word, as an atheist church? I'm not making this up. They come together. They do community together. They do good outreach for the community. They come together on a Sunday. They come into a thing. They'll have some real upbeat music, and then someone will come out and do an encouraging talk to make them feel better and to be a better person. Everything but without God. And people will buy into that. It's my firm belief, and you can disagree with this, that in the last days, the purpose, the strategy of the devil is try to create heaven on earth without God. That's where we're the restrainer. So we can't say, well, you know what? I just don't have time for the word. You had time to binge watch your favorite. I'm gonna look down because I did a little bit myself. You've been watching March Madness. And you've scheduled the next three weekends. Come on. The Word of God is eternal. It is alive. Do you hear me? The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick means alive. It is alive. That written Word has life to it when it's revealed by the Spirit of God. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. It's faith that allows us to please God, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What am I telling you? You need to stuff yourself. See, not when you go to the buffet, but if you want to do that, you can do that. Stuff yourself with the word of God. Meditate on the word. Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. No one will be able to stand against you, but I need you to be strong and courageous. And it basically told him how I want you to do it. I want you to meditate on this word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing. This is the kingdom principle of God. Well, I don't believe in all that. Well, that's what the Bible says. There's power in the word of God.
Yes.
When it's released
Amen.
From your mouth.
Right.
Not because you slept on it like a pillow. When your ears hear that word. James says that the word of God directs it just like a ship is directed, a horse is directed with a bit, so that what the word coming out of your mouth makes a difference. We need to understand the power of the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails.
Right.
Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, as God's word goes forth, it will not return void but accomplish that to which it's sent.
Amen.
We need to get to the point that we believe the word, that all men be liars and God be true. God, I'm going to stand on your word. This is what you're, not because you heard someone else tell you that. That's just information. You need revelation. That is just the written word. You need the living word. And when you get a hold of that rhema, that living word, that's from the word of God revealed by the Spirit of God, you hang on to that. God, this is what you've revealed to me. I don't care what, I'm not moved by what I feel, hear, see, but I'm moved by your word. Are you listening to me? The Bible says we have, having that spirit of faith, we have believed, therefore we've spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. What are we doing? We are speaking the word of God. Revelation. You think I'm just making this up? Revelation, when Jesus shows up on the white horse to defeat his enemy, the Bible says that there is a two-edged sword in his mouth. We've been taking the shield, the faith, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that the Bible talks about, in the armor of God. But we thought we're supposed to hold the armor, or excuse me, hold the sword with our hand. Jesus had that sword in his mouth. It's not just saying it. It's saying it till you hear it, you get faith, and then you can send it, Mark 11, 23, 24. And then when you pray, believe that you received it, and you will have it. You can say to that mountain, be removed. You can say to that sycamine tree, be uprooted. There is stuff that we have allowed and tolerated for the enemy to plant into our life, and he does it subtly. That's why James says that your words, it can be a great fire, but it's like kindling. Because when you light a fire with kindling, when the fire gets going, you don't see the kindling. All we see is the flame. Some of us have been dealing with flames of the enemy in our life, and we didn't realize that there's been kindling that started the fire. It's all been burned up. What was that kindling? James says it's the words coming out of our mouth. We can say, I'm healed, but then walk away and say, I'll never get healed. I'm so sick. I bet I die of this. That's, you better curse those words in the name of Jesus. Matthew 18, 18, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We got to understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue, the proverb says. Am I speaking to anybody? It might sound strange to you. You would say, well, I tried that once, it didn't work. You don't try it, you do it. Yeah. You don't do it because you heard it, you do it because you have a revelation of it. And how do you get a revelation? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. You get a hold of the word and say, God, teach me the power of the word of God. Teach me the power of your word that I'm speaking. It's not a matter of you coming up with stuff and saying what you think and expecting God put a stamp of approval. That's not what we're talking about. You can say, I'm going to dunk like that guy on basketball. I'm going to be an all-star. I'm going to be playing in March Madness next year. I'm sorry, you're 4'8" and 68 years old. It's not going to happen. It's not coming up with words out of your own imagination, but it's getting a hold of what God has already said. And God saying, God, your word is true. Psalms 119, he's elevated his word above his name and begin to say, God, your word is true. Therefore, I receive that word into my life. I want to be encouraged. Listen, you don't read so many chapters to knock off your checklist. And then, I mean, at least it's something, but I encourage you, read until something comes alive to you.
Amen.
Start in the Gospel of John if you don't know where to start. Never start at the beginning of a book like normal books. Don't start at the beginning of the Bible. When you start at Genesis, by the time you get to the begats, you'll be gone. Come on, somebody. You'd be like, I don't know why anybody would name their children that way. That just sounds stupid to me. Don't worry. God's probably in heaven, or they're probably in heaven going, why are they naming their kids that name? But on a quick side note, rabbit trail, I encourage you to go through those lineages and look at the meaning of the names and rewrite the names in the lineage by the definition. And if you do it, you will see the plan of humanity and salvation. Which means God was showing, here's my ultimate plan, and I'll show you through people's lives before they even knew what was going on. Whew, he's that good. Say the word of God. We need God's promises. The word of God, the law of God is perfect. It refreshes you. You need to encourage yourself. Oh, I just need somebody to know. There might be times you don't have anybody. You need to encourage yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord through the presence of God and through the word of God.
Amen.
Change the climate of your room. Change the climate of your heart. That dark cloud that seems like it's over you is broken in the name of Jesus. Begin to change it and say, this is what the word of God says.
Amen.
Demons tremble at the presence of God and the word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
We'll do one more. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, we're going to do it anyway. God's presence, say God's presence.
God's presence.
God's promises.
God's promises.
And God's people. Notice this, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yes, and exceedingly, the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Do you know, community, godly community, should encourage each other. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man's countenance sharpeneth his friends. But the Bible also tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. So who you spend time with, I'm just feeling so discouraged. Well, of course you're feeling discouraged. You just spent 4 hours with Mr. and Mrs. Negative, and they complained about everyone and everyone. They've criticized every man and woman of God on the planet. They have found fault with everything that's ever been done. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. They're not doing anything. Of course they've got time to try to figure out how, you know, if it was me in charge, I would have done it. Tell them to shut up. They're not doing anything. All they do is they see through the filter of negativity and problems, and they can't figure out why. I just feel so discouraged. My future doesn't look bright. I just think it's all going to be bad for all of us. The world's, you know, it's because that's what they're feeding. What you feed on grows, or what you starve weakens. It's, we're supposed to, Pastor, we're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, but you can love them from afar. Don't let other people dump into your well. Right? I mean, if you're making a stew or soup or something and it's boiling on the pot, you don't let anybody come up and just start throwing stuff in that. Right. Well, we just got to love everybody. Yeah, but if you're going to be eating from it, you're going to say, stop it. Yep. You're not going to let them say, oh, I just don't want to tell them no. They were bringing stuff from the yard. I hope that wasn't roadkill. We allow people to drop emotional and spiritual roadkill in our life because we listen to the words that they're saying, and they're negative, and they're anti-word.
Right.
And we begin to listen to it, and then we think about it, and we dwell on it, and we start wondering about it, and then we think about it, and we dwell on it, and it becomes an imagination. And all over the process of time, according to the Word of God, it becomes a stronghold. That's why the Bible tells us to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations and reasonings and any high thing to try to exalt itself in the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God can do stuff that we don't understand in the natural. Jesus didn't come and minister within the confines of their history or in their pattern of their past. He came and did stuff that they did not understand. He would walk by a funeral procession and touch a casket, and the little boy would wake up. He would spit in people's eyes. He would put mud in people's eyes and say, go, there is no pattern for that. They didn't have, in their rabbinical school, they didn't have a 7 ways to heal the blind. Number 3, point B, section, third section, put mud, spit in the ground, take that dirt and make it mud, wipe it on someone's eye and send them to wash, and they will be healed. It was unheard of.
Right.
It would, from the natural mind, it was weird. Yep. Thank you. It was unheard of. And yet we tie God down to our understanding, and we will cleanly, politely create a boundary box and say, here you go, God, do what I want within the confines of the way I'm comfortable. What if God didn't work within the confines of your box? What if he didn't do it the method you've always seen it? What if he did it in a way that you're not too sure of? They were looking at Jesus saying, how in the world? He would speak and demons come out. You didn't have that any time before Jesus. He would speak and demons come out. What is that? He must be doing it by the power of the devil. And Jesus said, no, I don't do it by the power of the devil, but if I do it by the finger of the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is at hand. He was letting them know there was a greater kingdom that was at hand. He was letting them know it's about the kingdom of God. Jesus came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God is likened unto. He was bringing a whole nother government, a whole nother system that they had not seen. See, they were under the government of Rome, and they were getting nervous because Jesus was talking about a new government. And when you are under the government of Rome, you don't want people spreading a new government, a new tendency, because it might disrupt your existing, what you're used to. And that's what religious people do. They don't want God to move in alignment with his word to blow their mind. They don't want, I'm telling you, it's like the dear woman, we had a testimony last week, who hadn't urinated a year. They had been on dialysis for 14 years and walking in the hallway, volunteering on a Sunday. The presence of God touched her while she was walking before someone even prayed for her. And God began to heal her, and her kidneys started working again. And it doesn't stop there. Just while we were doing that testimony last week, week, there was a dear woman in the church that had had problems with her tear ducts and had not cried in over, I believe they said over a year. And while we are celebrating God about that healing, she noticed tears coming down her cheek. Are you listening to me? I've never heard of people being healed by tear ducts. I've never heard of people being touched by God without someone. I'm telling you, God has a way of doing things. He will jump outside your box just to prove to you that his word is true and it's bigger than you. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that says, God, as long as it's aligned with your word, you do whatever you want to do. Be like Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. We've already jumped back to point two, so we'll just stop there. Be it unto me by the power of his word. Yes. Let God be God. What thing in your life do you need God to do the impossible? Oh, the doctor said no one's ever survived this diagnosis. Well, that's the government of the land.
Right.
But the government of God says something different. My therapist tells us that this marriage is just broken and will never be restored. Well, that's the government and the thinking of the land.
Right.
What is the government of God? They tell me that, you know, after bankruptcy, I'll never have good credit. And I'll never be able to get ahead. And I'll never have anything. That's the government thinking. That's the government of the land. That's the law of the land. And I'm telling you that there is a law that's greater. There's a law in the life of God in Christ Jesus that will set you free, that will raise you up, that will bring into your hands what God wants that the enemy does not want you to have. Oh, they tell me that people that have gone through this type of experience and abuse, they'll never be whole again. That's what the law of the land says. But I decree unto you the word of God that says that he is able to heal the brokenhearted. Are you listening to me? And restore your mind and bring you back better than you were before, where you can look at the attacker and say, I have no negativity toward them. I actually have sympathy because hurt people. And though I'm not going to allow myself to be victimized anymore, I don't carry the guilt, the pain, the harm. Are you listening to me? You don't have to live this life fragmented. I'm talking to somebody right now. The devil has told you. Life has told you, people have told you that because of your experiences, you will forever be marked, broken, and fragmented. And I'm telling you that the label of man is being removed from you today by the power of the word of God in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? You're going to walk out of here. You're going to be walking out of here. You do not have a letter A as an adulterer over your life anymore. You are forgiven. You are clean. Behold, all things are new. You are new creation in God. Are you listening to me? I decree and declare that you are free, whom the Son is set free. Boy, somebody needs this today. You don't have to live the life that's been designed by other people's opinions that'll try to hold you down. They are holding you down because that makes them feel better for themselves. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live that life. You can rise up above the opinions of other people, above the control of the enemy, above the past of your own mistakes and decisions. Say, God, I'm going to serve you and let you do what only you can do. Let God's word be true.
Yeah.
Oh. And all men be liars.
Yeah.
So when the devil says something and whispers in your ear, just say, liar. It'll never work for you, liar. Oh, you're going to die from this, liar. You got to get a hold of the word. The word, the word, the word. You say, but Pastor, I go to church once a month. You want to know how much time you need to spend in God's presence and in his word? It depends. That's the danger of religion. It will give us a set amount. That's like asking somebody, you're in a hole. How many steps is it going to take you to get out of that hole? It all depends. How deep is that hole? But I tell you, if you stick with it, you wake up and say, I'm not out of the hole. Spend more time. Well, I don't know anybody. I don't want to become a fanatic. They're kind of weird. No, they were weird before Jesus. Jesus does not make people weird. They were weird without Jesus. And Jesus is going to work that weirdness out of them. But never think, oh, if I read too much of the Bible, I'll be weird. No, you read more of the Bible, you're going to be free. You spend more time in God's presence, you're going to be changed. You're going to be victorious. You're going to have the life that he wants you to have. That's better than you could ever imagine. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way, in the way you process and experience, that you would know without any question, shadow of doubt, that Jesus Christ is real, your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer this. Only you can answer this. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm talking to three groups of people. Number one, the first group is those who have never heard the gospel. That Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth in the flesh, died on the cross for your sins, was buried for you, and on the third day rose again so that you could be forgiven. He's the only way to have your sins forgiven. He's the only way to go to heaven. There is no other way. Or to people that used to be saved, but for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. You fall in that category where Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. You know you're not serving God. Or the third group, the people here that are like, you know, I think I'm saved, but I'm not too sure I'm saved. I don't know. Sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I don't think. If you'd like to know for sure, if any of those three are you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let it come from your heart. Let it come from your heart. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans also says that with the heart man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say with me, if any of those three are you, with your head bowed and eyes closed, let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me and cleanse me. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life. I hold nothing back. And I ask you to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Before we dismiss, there's a couple things we want to do. We'll have prayer partners down here following the service. If you need one-on-one prayer, we're going to have our free grocery store, our free baby boutique, our free clothing store will be open 15 minutes following the service just to minister to people in the community and the family church. And we're seeing people get saved on a regular basis. Do you know, as many people get saved in the house, there's even more people sometimes that get saved outside of the service. Through the family being available and ministering to people and being open to talk to them and in the community and our outreaches. But if you prayed the prayer, one of my personal things, I guess, that I believe the Lord's placed in my heart is the lack of tenacity that's happened in the church world. We can be bold in the church, but then we get out there, we become passive for Jesus out in the world. Passive for Jesus when we're being tempted for sin. Well, I guess I'll just repent later. It'll be okay. I believe we're in the last of the last days. This is not the time to play a game. We need to get that tenacity back into the body of Christ. We're men and women. It doesn't mean you're a jerk. It doesn't mean you're weird, but you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And there is a blessing out of the Word of God that says that we can be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I want to speak and pray a blessing over your life for those of you who prayed that prayer. At the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to see who I was praying with. You said, Lord, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, and I know Jesus answered it, and I'm saved. If that was you, at the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, three, lift your hand. Who did I pray with? Keep your hand up if you would. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that. Six, seven. Come on. Anybody else? Eight. Now, I'm going to ask you to do the next thing, which is, you might think it's a little different, and I get it because I'm the same temperament. When I'm in a new space, I don't want anybody to know me or see me. But there's something about crossing the line of, I'm going to even lay this all down to stand up for Jesus. Because if we have struggles for standing up for Jesus when people are going to clap for us and pray for us, how do we stand up for Jesus out in the world? And so this prayer is so important. So if you prayed that prayer and meant business with God and you want me to speak that blessing over your life, I want you to take a bold stand. Now, some of you are bold and will stand quick. Some of you are passive. It might take time. So the bold ones, do it quick so the other people can be encouraged. But at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. You don't have to come forward. Just stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand in Jesus' name. Thank you. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I prayed that prayer. Come on. Come on. A few more seconds. Don't miss your opportunity. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Thank you. Thank you for those who are standing. First of all, let me say to you, we are proud of you. We are celebrating with you. The Bible says heaven is celebrating. I don't care what anybody else says. The Bible says heaven is celebrating. We're not here to control your life. We're here to help. Be in your corner, whatever you need us. We do things a little different than most churches. So we're not going to hound you. We're not going to cold call you. We're not going to chase you. We're not going to control you. I believe that Jesus doesn't want the wheel of your car. He wants you to have the wheel of your car, and you follow him as he guides you. Amen? I'm a firm believer. We can try to manipulate and control people, but at the end of the day, they can lie to man. But you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. So we want people to connect with Jesus. So Freedom, stand up real quick. So after service, if you want us in your corner, reach out to this guy. He'll stay down here in the front, or go across the hallway to the information center and ask for Debbie. She's also one of our care pastors. They're available just to take your information if you want us to reach out and call or answer any questions. We're here for you, but we're not going to chase you. Okay? I feel if people are not too sure. Yeah, if people want to go to hell, that's between them and Jesus. I'll love them. God loves them, but they need to know it's their choice. We're bringing tenacity back in the house of God. Amen? But we are so proud of you. We love you. Let me speak a blessing. Everybody stretch your hands to somebody near. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's saved, and we just seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, according to your word, Father God, I ask you to strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. In the mighty name of Jesus, I curse and bind every strategy of the enemy against them. Any friends that are beside by the enemy to take them down or take them out, we curse and bind that connection. And Lord, bring in the right people to be their friends, a support system like they've never had before. Father God, I thank you that they're not going to experience loneliness like they did in the past because they're no longer alone. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your strength and your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give them a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Last but not least, let me speak this blessing over all of our lives. This comes out of Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. If you want to receive it, lift your hands. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. Listen, we love you. We really do. God bless you. Invite a friend to come to church next Sunday. You're dismissed. Have a great day.